Amen. That's good. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to turn to the book of Psalm, chapter number 79, please. The 79th Psalm. There's 150 of them. David wrote a bunch of them, didn't write them all. It says this is a Psalm of Asaph. The 79th Psalm in verse number 13. So we, thy people and sheep of thy pasture, will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. And Father, add your blessing to your word now. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. There's much in the Word of God about thanks, thanksgiving, from Genesis to Revelation. It's loaded with the doctrine of thanksgiving. It's like this melody, that we had in the choir this morning. So good, don't you think? They worked hard and did a good job. And the Spirit of God anointed that and let you know that He was in it. Thanksgiving is nothing like thanksgiving to take the temperature of your life. I know of no other single thing that can really open up for you your present condition like thanksgiving. Either you are thankful or you're not thankful. This coming Thursday, this nation has set aside a day to honor and respect and glorify God in the manner of thanksgiving, to be thankful for what the Lord God has done. This nation has been for a long time a nation that has recognized unequivocally the simple fact that we would not exist had it not been for the hand of Almighty God. And so Thursday is Thanksgiving. It's not Turkey Day to me. It may be to some folks. They may say that, and by saying that, they are really saying, well, this is what I think about it. It doesn't mean any more to me than a turkey or ham or something that I can put into my mouth. That's fine. If that's as far as it goes, then he or she is revealing their true thoughts and nature as it relates to Thanksgiving. But Thanksgiving is a wonderful day. So this coming Thursday, Lord willing, if you're able to meet with your family, with your friends, or however you do it once a year, that you'll gather together and gather around the table, and there you'll be thankful unto God for what He has done. This Thursday, Lord willing, I'll gather in the home of my mother-in-law that I met in 1966. And in the book of mother-in-laws, they don't come any better than the one that I have, a gift from God. And we will gather together for our Thanksgiving meal and Thanksgiving Day. And the longer that I live on this earth, the more I realize that the Almighty, when He says give thanks, what He is saying to you is to look beyond and through your present circumstances to something greater and someone higher. And my friend, it is much deeper and greater than you can even understand it, that were it not for the gift and the blessing of God Almighty in this nation and in your life, you'd have nothing to be thankful for. If you remove God from the equation and take Him away from this cursed planet, there'd be no Thanksgiving Day or nothing to be thankful for. But this morning I want to give you a few things that this preacher is thankful for. Without question, I am thankful for salvation. It is a salvation that was designed in eternity past, before the first angel was ever made and the worlds were ever created and brought into existence, before the first man ever fell. Salvation had already been designed by the mind of Almighty God. He has never nor will He ever react to anything. Known unto God are all of His works from eternity past into eternity future. He designed a salvation that is for every human soul. I can say to you this morning, if you walk in this building and you've never known the Lord, before you walk out of this building today, you can be saved. I don't care what you've done, where you came from. It makes no difference at all, because the Bible said He bore the sin of the world, and it was the sin sin of the world that condemns mankind to hellfire. Not sins. Sin. Singular. And He bore that at Calvary. And so, my friend, if He bore that at the cross, then He tasted death for every man. And some people today have committed heinous sins. Horrible sins. Things that you would never want anyone to know about. There are things that people do today that are such a shameful thing. And yet people have no shame anymore. But I want you to know that Christ tasted your sin at the cross, your death on the tree, and He paid for it so that you could be saved. And so, my friend, the salvation that I am thankful for includes an old sorry, low-down dog like me. And God Almighty saved my soul. It's a wonderful salvation. It's an all-encompassing salvation. It's a far-reaching salvation. It's the kind of salvation that makes me want to shout and glorify God. In Sunday school this morning, we taught about the Puritans and the Pilgrims, my friend, that landed at Plymouth Rock. But the problem was that they were hyper-Calvinist, five-point Calvinist, total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace and predestination. That meant that only a small handful were going to be saved, and no hope for the rest of them. I'm glad Christ said, if any man come, I will in no wise cast him out. That includes me. I thank God for that kind of salvation. I thank Him for the Redeemer and redemption. Redemption means that He reaches down into your hell hole, whatever your hell hole is, and with a strong and mighty arm, He pulls you out of that. You might have been beaten all your life, slapped around, hated, used, and walked on like a rug, and people act like they like you only to get what they can out of you, and then you wind up another victim. I want you to understand something. He will never do that to you. He, my friend, will come to you in real love and redeem you and pull you out of whatever hell hole you're in and save your soul. Redemption, my friend, is that element of salvation that has to do with deliverance. It has to do with bringing back to God that which belonged to Him. And so the Redeemer is the one that's able to do it. Fanny Crosby said, blessed Redeemer. Oh, what a Redeemer He is. My friend doesn't brag about what He can do. He does it, and He will redeem you. My friend, this house is full of former drug addicts. This house is full of former drugs, of former alcoholics. This house is full of former everything under the sun in that Bible. Fornicators, liars, thieves. My friend, but He redeemed them. He saved them. He brought them out of their hell hole and wrote their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm thankful that God just didn't turn me loose and let me go on in the way I was headed. For if He had, I'd been in hell this morning. I'd been there screaming. I'd been in hell burning right now. But by the grace of God, He saved my soul. And that's what I'm thankful for. Grace, grace, grace. Marvelous grace. God's amazing grace. There's nothing like grace. Grace is a wonderful thing. For grace is the foundation and basis that He's able to do anything that He does. You don't merit His love. You don't merit His forgiveness. You're not good enough for Him to save. He does it because He's gracious. He extends His hand to us and says, for whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. I like that, whosoever will. That includes you and me. And it is the grace of God extending that hand. And it grace does not ask for payment. His grace is colorblind. His grace is money blind. His grace, my friend, reaches out to the sinner and said, come unto me. I'm thankful for grace. For it was grace that knocked at my heart's door. It was grace that got my attention in 1973. It was grace that that the Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, nailed him to the tree and he put his hands out and let them do it. That was the grace of God. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us to denying ungodliness and worldly lust. The Lord Jesus Christ is the grace of God. I'm thankful for grace, then I'm thankful for mercy. Because mercy is the heart of God reaching out to men. The grace of God makes it where God can touch any sinner. It doesn't matter who he is. But the mercy of God is what motivates him to do it. Have you ever heard somebody casting themselves on the mercy of the court? They do that all the time. Billy Mitchell was here the other day preaching the Word of God. And they said to him, "How do you plea?" And that preacher, that evangelist, bowed his head and stood before that judge and said, "I plead the mercy of the court." And that's all he pled, was the mercy of the court. And do you know what they did? They threw it out. Amen. That court showed mercy on that evangelist. I want mercy today and not judgment. I want mercy today and not justice. God's been merciful to me. I didn't deserve it. And he reached out in grace and he washed my sins away. That showed mercy. Thank God for mercy. And some of you, by the grace of God, have been saved. And others have come to you asking for mercy and asking for help, and you turn them away. Can you, my friend, if you really experience the mercy of God, not be merciful to another one like you? It's easy to be merciful if you've obtained mercy. It's wonderful to extend the hand of mercy to that one that asked for it. I'm thankful for mercy. Oh, how thankful I am for mercy today. And then I am thankful for the love of God. All I can do is preach about the love of God. I can't understand it. I don't understand it. The fact is, about 20 years ago, I thought I had his love figured out. And now I have to say to you this morning, I don't understand it. I really don't understand it. After 64 years of watching men and living among men and knowing the heart of man and knowing how wicked and ungodly mankind is, I have to say to you this morning, I don't understand a love like that. But the Bible said, "For God so loved the world." The Bible said, "For God so loved the world." My friend, in this, irrespective of who you are, where you came from, he loves every human being on the face of this earth. I don't understand that. He loves the murderer. He loves the rapist. He loves the drunkard. He loves the thief. He loves the sorriest low-down scum on the face of the earth. He still loves them. Don't ask me to explain it to you. Don't ask me to understand it. I don't. But it's a Bible fact. I believe it. I believe it because God said it. And I know it because he loved me. And then when I knew him and I returned the love to him that he had loved me with, he loved me even more. But this time it was a different love. This time it was the love of a father to a son. And as I love my father more, my father loves me more. As I draw nigh to my father draws nigh to me. He wraps his big arms around my soul. He comforts me in the darkest hour. He raises my spirit from the dunghill. And he fills me with his love. I know my Father, and my Father knows me. I must cry, "Abba, Abba, Abba, Father." And only a born-again believer would understand what I just said. For that love doesn't mean anything to you. But if you've been born again, it does. If you know him as your Savior, as your Lord, as your Master, and then one day you'll know him as your Father. And that's when the relationship gets real personal. I know him as my Father. I came from him. The life in me originated in him. I live and breathe him. He's about me and I'm about him. I know the one who loves me with a love. Hear this love. Not that we loved him, but he loved us. He loves the whole world, and I don't care who you are, he loves you. But if you're one of his children, he loves you as a father loves a son. Oh, friend, why can't we return that kind of love to the one who loved us? And then I want to thank him for something else. I want to thank him for the Bible. I thank God for the Bible. I thank God for the book. I thank God I haven't been left here to try to scratch around and find my way among human wisdom and philosophy and the knowledge of mankind. I'm glad I left me with a Bible. I thank God for the book. I've got in my hands the wisdom of the ages. I have in my hand the Word of God. I hold before you this morning the mind of Almighty God. And as I taught church Wednesday night, when I open the pages of that Bible, I begin to read its words. I read words that are words of life, that speak to the mind of my soul. I don't think with my physical brain that will be buried one day and go to the dirt. I think this morning with my mind. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. And this is the book that speaks to my mind. It's that book right there. That's a blessed book. Oh, what a marvelous book it is. I marvel sometimes. Truth is, I have to confess, I laugh a little bit at some of the stuff going on in the Bible translation world. The NIV is supposed to be the best-selling, most popular Bible out there. And a few years ago, the NIV came out with the gender-neutral or Bible translation. And they messed everything up. And a lot of the NIV people got angry about it and said, we're sticking with our old NIV. We're not going to change to this new Bible. I thought to myself, now, son, you talk about me being divisive. What you're saying is exactly what I've been saying all along. I got a Bible right here. I don't need to change from it. They're upset because they messed with their NIV. You following me? I got a Bible right here that's perfect. God's Word. And they've been messing with it a long time. I don't care how many translations they come out with. It doesn't make any difference to me what they do. This old book right here is going to stand true. Because that old book right there is the Word of God. And so they interviewed a lady up in Morristown the other day. And they asked her, they said, well, now the NIV is coming back to the old NIV. And they're dropping out some of the gender neutral, not all of it, but most of it, because of all the complaints they've heard. So the new NIV is coming back to the old NIV. Said, would you carry it in your store? And she said back to them, she said, no, I got to take a good long look at it before I stock it on my shelves. We had an NIV to start with. They came out with a new NIV. And now they revised the new NIV and they're coming back with an old NIV. But it's not the old NIV. I don't know where it is, if it's in the between or on the end or the front. It ain't the NIV that I started with. I like to say to her, bless your heart, you probably mean well. But get this King James Bible in your hand right here. If it says AB 1611, you got a book right here that they've been trying to mess with for hundreds of years. They've been trying to change it. They try to denigrate it. They try to make you think that you're some kind of a redneck fool because you believe it. But it still stands. It speaks to us in a way no other book does. There's power in that book. I have never heard anybody quote the NIV. I've never heard them quote the RSV. I've never heard them quote Good News for Any Man. But I've heard them quote this book, chapter and book and verse. I've seen girls stand up when Brother Roloff was still living down there in Texas. We had him in here one time. We had his choir up here. And they brought these young people up here. And then that was back in the back 1981, somewhere in there. And they brought them in here and they got up here. And they'd started singing. Then they'd start quoting scripture. And they'd quote whole chapters, whole books of the Bible. And verbatim, right down the line. You know why? There's something about the King James Bible you can memorize. It speaks to the heart. The Word of God, quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It's that book right there. That book's got power in it. That book I thank God for. I'm glad I've got it. You say, I don't have a King James Bible, preacher. Go get you one. Good luck. Look. When you go out here to these religious bookstores, you're going to find that if they do have any King James Bibles, that they got them hidden underneath the shelf somewhere or pushed off to the corner. Now, what you're going to get is something like this, of the NIV, and then maybe a few other translations. But the old King James, you're going to hunt to get. Now, why? Why is it that the King James Bible was the Bible of Billy Sunday? It was the Bible of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. It was the Bible of Sam Jones. It was the Bible of these old Methodist circuit riding preachers and Baptists and a whole lot of other people that carried it to the ends of the earth in missionary activity. Adoniram Judson went to Burma and translated the Bible into the Burmese language. What Bible? That Bible. It was the King James Bible that Livingston went down into Africa and carried with him. It was the King James Bible that evangelized the world. And it's the King James Bible in the book of Revelation to the church of Philadelphia that says, I have set before thee an open door, the church of brotherly love. But when the new Bibles came in, which way did the church go? This way or that way? That way. The new Bibles have produced apostasy, a coldness, an aloofness, and a deadness in the church. And the King James Bible, all you got to do is preach it. All you got to do is preach it. You don't talk about a sword, you use it. You don't talk about a weapon, you use it. This is the sword of the Spirit. Word of God. Well then, preacher, I'm to take from what you said that you're a King James man. You took it right, folks. I thank God for the Bible. Won't you say now, preacher? I don't have a college education. I don't have any Greek and I don't have any Hebrew. And the Bible, the King James Bible, is just simply too hard for me to understand. All right? Let me give you three things. Number one, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. All right? That's number one. Number two, how many of you know what a concordance is? Some of you don't. A concordance, and there's about four or five different ones. Strong's is the most common. A concordance lists every word in the Bible and where it's found. All right? But it also, Strong's Concordance, gives you it's like a dictionary. It gives you a definition of that word. So when you come upon a word and you don't understand what that word means, here's two things to do. Get a concordance. Find out where it shows up in the Bible in other places and see how the Bible uses that word. Therefore, the Bible becomes its own interpreter. There's no better interpretation than that. So here's what to do to understand the Bible. Get on your knees and say, Lord, open my heart. I'm not reading Sears and Roebuck catalog. I'm not reading a flyer from Target. I'm reading the Bible. I want you to open my heart that I can understand it. Get that concordance. And if you've got a computer, man, you got it made. Got 500 Bible programs that'll run you anywhere in the Bible you want to go. An electronic concordance just like that. But just get you a printed concordance. And start reading it. And when you come upon a word that you can't understand, that seems to be archaic, it's in that concordance. It's in Strong's. I'd recommend Strong's. They've got one that's called Strong's. What they've done is take Strong's concordance, use computer programs to find any places that Strong might have left out a reference. See, Strong is not the Bible, and Strong's not perfect. And what they did with that, with the computer program, is to add in the places where Strong might not have gotten it to begin with. So with a Strong's, man, you've got it in your hand right there. Any way you can find your way around the Bible, you got it in your hand right there. And it'll take you. Cruden and Young has a concordance. I think there's some other concordances. A lot of Bibles have a limited concordance. I've got one right here in the back of my Bible. That shows you how to get around. It's not a full concordance. Pray. Ask God to open your heart. Get a concordance for the words you don't understand. And read the Bible. And if you'll read the Bible, God will speak to you from His Word. When He speaks to you from His Word, you'll fall in love with His Word. When the Word starts talking to your soul, you will begin to develop a respect for the Word like you never had before. Then you begin to understand why the old timers were so vocal about the Bible and about how important it is. You say, well, I'm a Christian preacher and I never read my Bible. Well, what's happened then is this. You may be a Christian. You may be a real believer. But your faith is so weak that anything can blow you away. You must have the Word of God abiding in your soul. Every day you need to take it in. Every day read it. And then every day pray for the Holy Spirit to illuminate it to your heart. Make His Word come alive. And when it does come alive, you'll be like the two on the road to Emmaus that said to the Lord, said to each other when the Lord had stepped from them, did not our hearts burn within us when He opened to us the Scriptures? Father, in Thy name we pray. Thank You for Your Word, Lord, that we hold in our hands in our language. And I open it and I believe it from cover to cover without error. And You've never rebuked me for that, never. Never one time have You ever rebuked me for believing that that Bible is perfect. In Jesus' name we pray, and for Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. Let's stand up this morning. Salvation for everybody, folks. Everybody and anybody. No matter who you are or what you've done, you can be saved. What have we got, brother?
Page 364 in the All-American.
Won't you come? Come. Oh, how I love Jesus. Isn't it good?
Oh, how I love Jesus.
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 How I love Jesus. Because He's first love.
Amen.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
Won't you come?
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. It tells me what my Father had in store.
Leela. They want God to bless Leela. That's the best thing a set of parents could do for a baby.
Amen.
Amen. That's what they did with the Lord. They brought him, presented him to the Lord. That's what Hannah did with Samuel. She brought him to the Lord. Amen. And no greater thing you can do than bring your babies to the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Well, we meet again this evening at 6 o'clock for the evening service. Lord willing. Don't forget,
Wednesday night at 7's prayer meeting. If I don't see you between now and Thanksgiving, I wish you a happy Thanksgiving. May God bless you with your family. A lot of folks have loved ones that come in from out of town, and sometimes you go out of town. Depends on which way it goes. But if you'll be seeing family members this coming Thursday, remember who's done the blessing. Remember where it comes from. Remember what Thanksgiving's about. Thanksgiving, folks, in its heart and in its soul and in its roots, is a Christian holiday. Yes, sir. All right, brother. All right, we will. She's got pain in her legs. Would you come up here and we'll anoint you? Anybody like to come up here to the front?